دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Wednesday morning on our program The Bliss of Marriage. It's a beautiful, my beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company, and our beloved, wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, my beloved engineer, none other than Haji Suleiman Esop. He's in a good mood. He's full of energy. He's full of smiles. He's looking alhamdulillah. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because of the weather. Because I see today is a bit overcast and a bit cold, a bit windy. But I have a feeling. I've got a very strong feeling. The rain is just about to come. Yeah, I've got this strong feeling. The rain is just about to come. But anyway, even if the rain comes, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends for us beautiful rain, inshallah. Today is the 24th of Safar, 1444, corresponding to the 21st of September, 2022. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Well, our beloved engineer will be with me from now till 12-ish. That's Haji Suleiman Esop. I see our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad has just entered. Let's welcome him, inshallah, into the program, The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
I see there's a listener, Ustad, from Bronkesprit. They know Mufti Saab quite well. They want some nasiha and advice, asking Mufti Saab, what is the wife's right to visit her parents? It's causing a toll in my marriage. Anonymous, Ustad.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 24th of Safar 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, all the answers you'll find in the Quran Sharif or in the Sunnah Mubarakah or in the lives of the Honorable Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the Awliyaullah, according to the four schools. So take Quran Sharif, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, Surah 4, Chapter 4, Verse 19. O your husbands, you must treat your wives with love, with respect and honor. And remember, Habibuna Rahmatullil Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِي. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and to your children. I, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am the best of to my wives and to my children. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif and reported narrated by Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So now, sister, let's give you three scenarios and see. So first and foremost, you are in Bronkesprit, but your parents are in Durban, for example. So obviously you can't expect your husband that every week, every month he must tell you, okay, he will take you to Durban or somewhere far and so forth. You also need to be realistic because you know the price of petrol, the price of the toll gates and so forth and so on. And remember that once a year, twice a year he takes you, so he's fulfilling his rights as a Muslim husband. And if he doesn't allow you once a year also to go to your beloved parents, so that will be wrong on his behalf. So what it is all to do with give and take situation. Islam does not say that you must remember that you must do this, you must do that, because everybody's circumstances are different. Is the husband and wife in the same town? Do they live nearby, meaning that the husband and his in-laws, or are they far away? Are they in different countries? So therefore, it's all you must remember about give and take. Second one is this: today it's so easy. Every day you can meet your parents in this way, via telephone or via WhatsApp, via SMS and so forth and so on. So it is not that you don't have contact with them. So if your husband is taking you once or twice a year, if you are in a far distant place, so then he is fulfilling his duty, and you should not be over demanding and saying, no, I must be able to go more and more. So that causes bigger problems, remember that.
There's a question that came in. It says, Ustad, that Mufti Saab, my wife and I are in a dead relationship. But of course, Ustad, for the sake of the kids, we fake it. And it says here, now I found a Moroccan woman. She says she likes me, but I don't know what to do. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
So you, my brother, you are in a stale marriage. What you say dead, meaning stale marriage, that you tired of your wife is tired of you. Allah alone knows what the reasons are and so forth. But you're staying in that marriage there because you have 3-4 children and so forth. So that's very good. You must stay together. But now you saw one Moroccan woman. By the time the Moroccan woman finishes you up, you will be losing your debit card and your credit card and many cards. Remember that. She's bad news for you. It's history, and you carry on with the geography. So just cut her off and block her. You must have no contact with her, as it is haram. You must remember, you are a stranger to her. She's a stranger to you. You know nothing of her family. You don't even know, maybe she was married to once or twice or something, but because she can speak Arabic, she's fair in complexion, and maybe she has nice looks and all that. That is a problem today. When you, the man, you look at just the mal, the wealth, then you look at the jamal, then you look at the beauty. So if the criteria is only mal and jamal, nothing to do with piety, nothing to do with the creed and the belief structure of that person, all that you marginalize and you don't worry about it. So only mal, the wealth, and only jamal, and that is the beauty, then the mal and jamal causes a lot of damal. You understood now? Yeah. Remember that sentence. Mal and jamal only will cause a lot of damal. Big problems you will encounter and experience and so forth. So bad news, brother. So what you must do, your negative marriage, turn it into positive. Sit with your wife, write down on piece of paper, these are the 10 positive points, these are the 5 negative points. So let us now enhance the positive points and work on the negative points. So you come closer and closer to your wife, she comes closer to you. Your problems are not insoluble. You can solve it if you want to. Remember that, and that is what Quran is saying. Wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. So both parties must have that sincere desire and wish, then Allah's help also will come. Give our charity, read dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, those of you getting married now, 1-2 weeks time, 1 month time, 3 months time, abundantly every day. Today is Wednesday. After Zuhur Salat, read 2 rakat extra, make dua. Read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Ya Allah, you are the creator of love. Bring the mahabba, mawadda, love, compassion within us. Give out charity. So inshallah, Allah's special mercy will come, and in that way there, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will bring you together, and your children will also notice a wonderful atmosphere in the house and in the home.
Somebody says, Ustad, from Eastern Cape. I don't know where's Eastern Cape, Ustad. It says here that What a beautiful marriage, Mufti AK. My daughter, she's just turned 19 years old. So now she's thinking of accepting proposals. My daughter's name is Adila, and she's listening to y'all. She really likes Mufti AK. She's saying she wish you were her ustad in madrasa, Eastern Cape ustad.
MashaAllah, Eastern Cape is Port Elizabeth, East London, King Williamstown, Queenstown. So we visit the king, we visit the queen, we visit the prince. East London is the prince, I say. So we've been there several times for programs and so forth and so on. So you, my daughter, Sister Adila, so remember that this is what you must do. Through the following 4 or 5 things. Number one is this: when proposals come, don't look at mal only, the wealth. Don't look at jamal, the handsomeness only. So look at the piety character of that person. Look at the creed of that person, mustn't be a Qadiani, a Shia, and all these type of characters. And remember that you must make mashura, discuss the issue with your beloved parents, make istikhara. Read with me now so you know the lesson. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, khirli khara khire, khirli, O Allah, you select the best for me. Wakhtarli, and choose for me. So now Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali came for you. So you confused. Now you don't know what to do. Keep on reading this. And whatever comes in your heart, in your mind, so you choose that. You must be happy, my sister Adila, and your parents must be happy. And then you go ahead and you get married. 19 years old is very good age. And in the interim now, so learn everything where you can become an asset to your husband, you can become an asset to your mother-in-law, father-in-law, in-law's family. 3-4 ideas I give you. Start now learning how to cook properly. That how to make sambusas, bhajiyas, roti, all that, you see, chicken, mutton, all that you must know. Number two is this: learn about computers and all these things a little bit, so you can become the secretary of your husband as well. And then number three, that you must learn a little bit, you know, cooking, the baking and so forth. So husbands, we're hungry, always hungry. So a hungry man is an angry man. So when you look after him, then slowly you will win his heart over. And then sometime you give your mother-in-law, then you will win them also over. Then when your husband is happy, then he'll give you the credit card. Then after 1-6 months, he'll give you a debit card. And then he'll give you the money. And then you will have everything. And then you will be his treasurer and secretary. You see, you must know, sister, how to play your cards. That is how things will work out. So always remain positive. And inshallah, your name is Adila. So you must exercise justice also. Adila means justice. So practice on that, inshallah, Aziz, okay? And always make sure that you take the du'as of your beloved parents as
ameen,
well.
Ameen, 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 ameen. Beautiful advice there, Ustad. Listen to this one, Ustad. Somebody says, this is Nani. Nani says, how did Mufti get a good spouse? I'm worried of my granddaughters because they're too modernized and fussy. Can Mufti AK wife speak to my granddaughters, please? I wait for her call. Ustad, Nani.
Nani, the many dua karwano, that today these girls, they are like that. But you can't blame the girls, Nani. You have to blame the parents first and foremost. Who bought all the short clothing for them? Who bought all the tight clothing for them? The parents. When they were growing up, they masoom, they like a sponge. So remember, the sponge just absorbs everything. So when our daughters are growing up, we give them short dresses, tight dresses, we give them the swimming costume, that no, you must learn swimming and so forth. So from that young tender age, we train them like that and so forth, that the children, the daughters, granddaughters are born with haya, with shame and modesty. Every girl has that, is innate, inborn and inherent in that, and Islam wants to protect and preserve that. But the non-Muslim culture and the Muslims who want to mimic that culture, we erode and remove that God-given, Allah-given haya, shame and modesty. See Allah use, how many times I gave you this example? Surah chapter 28 and verse number 24-25. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam left Egypt, came to Madian. He doesn't know a single person. He requires boarding, lodging. He cries, petition, begs Almighty Allah. Chapter 28 verse 24. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Ya Allah, every goodness you sending down and bounty you sending down, I need it, Ya Allah. So Allah made the means. There were two ladies standing one side, waiting for the men to go. Then they will fill their buckets of water. He asked them, why what's happening with you all? They said, wa abuna shaykhun kabir. Our father is advanced in age and very old. He filled up their buckets, everything, without looking at them, and kept his gaze, lowered his gaze, and they could see such a strong, powerful person, honest person. They reached home earlier than expected, and their father asked, وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ, and they related, narrated the entire episode to him. He said, go call him. They said, إِسْتَعْجِرْهُ O Abati, Ya Abati, O father, beloved father, employ him. Father, he was a Nabi. Employment is secondary. I want you, he must marry one of you. So he married Sayyida Safura radiallahu ta'ala. Then when she came to call him, what Allah says? Chapter 28, verse 25. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. So one of them came. And her gait, G-A-I-T, her walking style, that had so much haya, shame, modesty, that Allah Azza wa Jalla praised her. So look at our daughter, our granddaughter, and so forth and so on. So remember that we encourage the vices from a young and tender age. Remember that. Her name is Maryam, but Maryam must think like Mary. His name is Bilal, but Bilal thinks like Bali. So we already part of that culture. We enhancing it, promoting it, advocating it. Now when they grow up, 14, 15, 18, so Nani Ma looks at them, now look at these ladies, young girls, how they dressing, which type of clothing they are wearing. And if you tell them anything, they'll say, Nani, you keep quiet. My father, mother, don't say anything. Who are you to come and tell us? You see, that is now their freedom. That is their democracy, that they will keep, tell you to keep quiet. So who is to blame in all this? You work it out and see. Now you ask the question, Nanima, that how I got married. You see, me, I came for holiday from Pakistan 1979 with Allah's mercy. I came twice, 76 I came and 79. Musti, musti, ma, I was playing, you know, and the people know I joke. So my Masi, my Khala was there, Allah give her Jannatul Firdaus. Maryam Masi, we used to call her Malu Masi. So she was very, very beautiful, very, very fair. She looked like a queen, you know, so like that, very beautiful. And so forth. So al khala to be manzilatil So the khala is place of the mother. So she used to kiss me, embrace me like that, all. And my sister is also married in that same family. So I told my Masi, my khala, and I told my sister that, you know, I'm tired of this Pakistani food, you know, that we're eating all the salan and gravy and curry, got hay and all that inside. It's the truth, I got Quran in my hand. So remember that they just put, and the potatoes, they jacket potatoes. You know the jacket potatoes? They don't take the peel out, they just leave it with the peel. So you call jacket potatoes. So like that and all. So in musti, in a joke, I said, I think I must get married. So they said, very good, very good. There's a girl just here and they're waiting for people like you, must be a Hafiz and Maulvi Saab and das and das and all. So I said, speak to them. So we went there, this, that, all that. I didn't speak, I just saw. And then 5-10 minutes and then we came back. So I told my sister, tell them this date we get married. She said, no, our parents don't know and we didn't propose and das and all that stories. So I said, okay. So the next day, her father was gone in Jamaat or what, and what, and what. The 10 sons and one daughter, you see, the 10 sons came first. So the next day, Fajr time, I was in Masjid. So the Baji, he came to me, and he hugged me and kissed me. So I'm telling them, what you're telling me? I must propose. He already gave me the answer, you understood? So the ball started rolling. But prior to that, I went for Umrah, and with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, I used to hold the Kaaba, Musharraf, I make dua, and Allah's mercy comes always, we can do nothing. So always cry to Allah. Allah must give you good husband, good wife, whatever it is. And inshallah, when you're sincere and you cry, then Allah will let it happen. So I'm going to get married, and then no house, no nothing, and then we're going to Karachi. We spent 3 days in the hotel, so I locked the room from outside. I told her, you don't open for anybody. This is Pakistan. You know how mad Pakistan is now. Today all the news is breaking that Pakistan is allowing same-sex marriage. You understood? Adam can get married to Eve and Adam can get married to Steve. Then we wonder how come Pakistan got so many punishment. When you do all these upside down things, then what you expect to happen, you know? Supposed to be a Muslim country. And the politicians, I told you 100 times, the current government, A to Z, all corrupt. Maulana, no Maulana, whole lot corrupt, remember that. So anyway, so then I had to organize a visa, organize the house and utensils and this. And so long story, so Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's mercy, like that. So what was the criteria? My father, mother has to always say, I don't want all these rich, rich women. They sit on our head, you know, understood? So I want poor, poor lady, and she must be simple Simon, like you say. So Allah made like that and all these type of things. Yeah. So always, J.C. Niyat, V.C. Barkat, you must remember. But today, if somebody come Nanima for your granddaughter and that from the window, from the curtain, Pardasi, they will see the first thing, how's the car? They come with the Nissan and Toyota, the KK, apre istikhara kare. And if they come with a Mercedes and BMW, they say, very good, you can take her. Be my wife, BMW. So that is all the problems we got, Kalananima. So that is, our niyat also is not pure, it's all tainted and polluted.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Listen to this one, Ustad. Dear Mufti Saab, we have a women's club only for swimming. It's trick parda and it's indoor pools. We have so much of muhabbat. Can Mufti advise the sisters to join our club? We don't want them to commit sin by going elsewhere to swim. It's been the ages 23 to 37. Anonymous trick sister. Ustad.
Remember, I don't encourage anybody to participate in that club and so forth. I'm asking you 3 questions. You say it's woman only. Fair enough till there. But you know, when you'll go inside the pool and all these type of things here, so are the thighs and all that exposed or not? I'm asking you. So if the thighs are exposed, then that's haram already. One. Number two is this, is the bosom and all that half exposed or not, and all that, the breast and that. So then it's already haram and so forth. A woman's body must be covered, woman to woman, from above the breast bosom to below the knees. And then when you get wet, wet, wet in the pool, then that costume, it stuck to your body. Then one lady can see the other lady's curves and corners and everything there. All that is jais, sister. It's permissible, all these things here. Or if they wear see-through transparent, then that is absolutely haram. Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyatun fil akhirah. Many women think that they are dressed, but they'll be naked in the year after because they're wearing transparent see-through clothing. And lam yajidna ra'ihatul jannah. Never mind jannah, even the fragrance of jannah they won't get. So sister, your intention might be good, but remember, when you look at fiqhul waqi', you look at the practicality of it, then 1, 2, 3 is happening. Either the thighs and all that are exposed, either the bosom or the back and all that is exposed, or either it gets so tight, and you know when the costume is wet and it gets stuck to the body, then all the curves and corners and everything you can see. So that all these are factors is not permissible. So you see, the problem is what we want to do. Whatever the West wants to do, we want to mimic them. Then we go to one crooked Maulana, crooked Mufti, and he will just put a stamp, halal logo, you see. And then you must pay him and so forth. So the non-Muslims, they said bikini. So they run around like that with a bikini. So our Muslim lady said, no, we can't be left behind. So we mustn't have bikini, we must have burkini. What they call it? Burkini. So this type of things here. So think properly about this. So we won't encourage anybody, sister, because 80-90% of the time, all these problems occur. So therefore, we need to solve all these problems properly.
Somebody says, Ustad, that is Usaid a good name for a baby boy? And what are some virtues of the Sahab, Hazrat Usaid bin Hudhayr, radiallahu anhu, Ustad?
Remember that in Arabic, you have a word called Tazghir. In English, you call that diminutive. Umar is big Umar. Umair, small Umar. Out of love, you call that. Ummun, mother. Umayma, small mother. Meaning out of love, you call like that. So that's it. So Usaid. So remember, the word is Asad. Asad means the big lion. Yesterday, one person asked me, a male, he asked me why the lion is called the king of the jungle. His question, why the lion is called the king of the jungle? So I asked him, brother, did you see a real lion? Did you see its big beard and mane, M-A-N-E? When go stand there in front of that lion and then see how long your huzu last. Still understood? So that in 3 seconds, 20 seconds, your huzu will be broken, then you will know why he's called the lion or the king of the jungle. He sleeps for 20, 21 hours, if you know about lions. Then he wakes up and then he looks with one eye and all that. And then when he sees what he wants, then the speed he goes with, remember, is a sight to see. We saw it in Kruger Park 1-2 times. So how it darts and it catches its prey and so forth and so on. So anyway, that's his story here. So Asad. Asad is the bigger one, the big lion. And Usaid, the cub, the small lion, you see. So when I went to Rustenburg, so one day did one youngster, Kaji youngster, he tells me, if you touch a lion, the huzu, it breaks. I tell him, you touch lion? He said, yeah. I said, no, how to see? So after the lecture, late at night, we went to go see the lions. We spent the night there, and one police also chased me and all these kind of things. So the police tell me, you can't see the blue light. I say, Baba, don't kataza lo fundis, don't trouble me. You see this man, he told me I must follow him, speak to him. So they knew one another. So he told him he must come and sleep one night there. So anyway, there nice rondavels and nice, you know, facilities there, they got and all that. So I don't know if they're still there, but they had all these cubs there, you know. They roll with the lion and play with the lion and a lot of things they going on. So that is Usaid. So mashallah, you keep your son's name Usaid. Every Sahabi's name got barakah and blessing. I told you, you must remember that we got 100 Sahaba's name for male and 100 female's name. So you just write names, we will send it to you, inshallah. So very good. So you keep the name Usaid. You will become a brave person, inshallah.
So Ustad, my elder sister, she has a new child. At the same time, our mother also gave birth to our new sister. Can my sister breastfeed our younger sisters too? Ustad?
Yes, 100%, you must remember that. Although sister to sister, you must remember sisters. But if she wants to now breastfeed her young sister, so that is fine. So one side the daughter is busy and one side the parents are busy. So all are falling pregnant. So it happens like that sometimes. So all are very active, mashallah. Allah keep them more active also. So that is good to have an active ummah. Tanakahu takatharu. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, make nikah and multiply, multiply, multiply the halal way, not the haram way, halal way. So it's fine. Hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. So yes, you daughter, now you're going to breastfeed your own child, and then you're going to breastfeed your sister. So your sister will be your biological sister and your foster sister. So very good, permissible, no problem with that.
I see there's a brother says, can I visit my late wife's grave? I really miss her cooking, Ustad.
So you should go. You never divorced her or anything. She passed away, so once in 6 months and 3 months and all that, go to her grave, make dua for her. What dua are you going to make for her? Dad, you're going to think only of her samosas and bhajas and all that. She needs you now, my brother. So read now with me. Read now with me. Chapter 59 and verse number 10. You see, today is 24th of Safar.
Uh-huh.
So 24th of Safar, 1997, my beloved mother passed away. So whenever it comes, then, you know, we make dua every day, but you still remember, because I was there when she passed away. Father passed away, I was there. Mother passed away, I was there. Brother passed away, with Allah's help, all this, I was there. So you, my brother, for your beloved wife who passed on, so what dua are you going to read? That is what you must learn. Chapter 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10. Now read with me. Rabbana ighfir lana. This is in the 28th Supara. With Jews, 28 Jews. By the quarter, by the first quarter. Rabbana ighfir lana. Rabbana ighfir lana. Ya Allah, forgive us. Wali ikhwanina alladhina. Wali ikhwanina alladhina. And forgive our brothers, sisters. Sabakuna bil iman. Who passed away before us with iman. People pass away. Non-Muslim, queen, king, this one, that one passed away. Non-Muslims is haram. You can't pray for them after they die. Wala tuswalli ala ahadim minhum mata abada. Wala taqum ala qabri. Chapter 9, Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 84. So we back to chapter 59, verse 10, 28 Jews, 28 Supara. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. So now you are married, my brother, second wife, third wife, Allah alone knows. But you remember her akni, you remember her biryani, you remember this and other things also you must be remembering. So that's good. So give out charity daily for her. Daily read Quran for her. Daily read namaz and ishraq salat and idu salat ud-duha. Transfer the sawab to her and so forth. Then, my brother, just today I saw somebody. Who I saw? My mother or father or somebody I saw in the dream. So you must remember this, that you will be seeing her in your dream, and she'll be smiling. She'll say, oh my hubby, oh my darling, you still never forgot me. So but now you see the one husband, story time now. So Suleiman Mota, you must listen to the story. So maybe it will help you in life. So what happened? Husband, wife. You know, there's a lot of talk between husband, wife. It's a husband, his wife, his friendship in discussion. So husband asked the wife, oh my poppy, oh my darling, oh my sweetheart, you ever see me in the dream? So the wife said, never ever. So he was but disappointed. So he then asked the wife, how come you never ever see me? She said that I read in the hadith that if you read Ayatul Kursi, then Allah protects you from shaitan and all these things. So every night before I sleep, I read Ayatul Kursi. So therefore, I don't see you and I don't see no shaitans also. So husband was very upset now, you see. So your wives must read Ayatul Kursi also. Husband must also read. So inshallah, you won't see no shaitans, no nothing and all that there. So anyway, cut long story short, so every day start reading for her. And not only for her, brother, read for the whole ummah. In du'as, we must not be conjuice. Don't be stingy. Make du'a for the entire ummah, inshallah.
Somebody says, Ustad, that if a man does not have mehr, quickly, Ustad, before we go for the interval, can he do a lay-by and take his wife after the mehr is fully paid? Or can he marry and pay later, Ustad?
If she agrees, then Islam says there's no problem. But with that, you must attach the other issue. No pay, no play. She says, okay, if you pay me 5,000 rand now, then that is the mahar, and then you can come sleep with me, consummate the marriage, all that. But you say, no, you want to do deposit and lay by and defer the payment of the mahar, the marital gift, and so forth. She say, fine, I accept it, we get married. Every month you must put 1,000 rand, 2,000 rand in my account. So when you finish pay, then you start sleeping with me and so forth. So the wife has the right to say, mamnu ud-dukhul, that no entry. Why no entry? Till you pay the full mahar. So she has all the right to do that also, brother. So you better pay up quickly. No pay, no play.
Haji Sulaiman Esau Ustad is having a good laugh. Well, 20 minutes to 12. Let's go, inshallah, for an interval. When we come back, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, it's exactly now 18 minutes to 12 o'clock. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Somebody says, Ustad, after an argument, my husband stops talking to me for days and tells the children about me. What can I do? Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What was the argument that only Allah Ta'ala knows? Remember, this is a case of Meme Tutu. You know what is Meme Tutu? Husband say, wife say, wife, husband say, then the wife say. So all parties are guilty there. So you must start from this, okay, I'm wrong, I ask for forgiveness. Then he must say, okay, I'm wrong and I ask for forgiveness. Don't pin the blame on one party. Both of you must say we're wrong and then you go forward. So that's point number one. Point number two is this, that for the husband to tell all this to the children, totally haram that is. Husband, wife must sort out the problem among themselves. In the bedroom, go for a drive and you alone and you sort out your problems. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَن يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحَا. You see what Quran is saying? That you must reconcile among yourself. Among yourself, don't bring in third party. And by telling the children all this, he's already undermining the role of the mother. So when these children grow up, their respect for the mother, remember, will be less. Because you, the father, intentionally or inadvertently, you are poisoning the mind and brainwashing them against the mother. So how can you do that? Ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiraag se. So you are causing harm. You put the best security outside, but the fire is inside the house. So that is foolish of you to do that. So that's unacceptable. And for that, you, the husband, must ask the wife for forgiveness.
Ustad, you have to listen to this one here. We have a Muslim servant. She is in Parda and makes it very difficult for me to work from home. Our livelihood comes from my income at home. To prevent everybody from wild speech, should I rather not just marry this lady so she does not have to make Parda from me? And also she lives in our outbuilding as she comes from a different province. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
So first and foremost, why you want to get married and upset, then your wife will get pulled up. And that will cause other problems and all these type of things. So why you don't say that, see, that you are living here, Allah alone knows that her husband, she's not married the way you're explaining. So for you to employ her, keep her there, is it permissible? First of all, that's not permissible. Second one, she's working in your house and so forth. So you must give her hours. You know you are working at home and so forth. So you must tell her that, see, 8 to 1, 8 to 12 or what and what. So I will be in my office, I won't go out, this, you come and do all the job and finish it up like that. So they know, but you'll call her 10 times a day and then you bump into her 5 times a day. So that's where all the problems come. Otherwise, the easy solution that you must give her time from this time to this time you must work. And you must sit there in your office and you must do your work that time there. So that's an easy way of solving and resolving the problem. Yeah. You're getting married, you're going to cause bigger problems. Remember that.
So, sir, why can't a man not drink water from the same glass as a non-mahram lady? Anonymous from Lady Smart to start.
It's not haram, but remember, it's makruh and it's undesirable and disliked and so forth. Because you must remember that when a lady drinks something, you drank something, so that taste and all that, you see today, see, I tell you, I give you one lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when I went to occupied Palestine, so these Jutlas, they know me, you see, that I speak against them and I speak that. They don't know how to break my arguments, but they want to break you see. So they'll ask you, does that? So they kept me one day there for a few hours and then they interrogate me. Did you go to Iraq? Yes. Did you go to Iran? Yes. Did you go to Lebanon? Yes. Did you go to Pakistan? Yes. So about 10 countries, 8 countries they asked. I said yes for each one. So she, they told me to the lady, but I know behind that they got the two-way camera that they can see exactly. They experts in jutlas, you know. So my body language, and am I speaking the truth? And then they type something, then she sees in the screen, and so forth. So not one question with Allah's help they could corner me. So she, that lady told me, you go to all the wrong countries. I said, no, I don't go to the wrong countries. I'm a student of history. So I go to all these countries because I'm intrigued. And I love to know about their history and geography and what and all these type of things. So in between, you must remember that they asked me, the same lady, you thirsty? So I said, yes. Okay, we'll bring water for you. This is a true story. Yeah? So they have the interrogation room and that when you come from Jordan and all this. We used to it now. So then we give them. So you know what they do with that water. So we drink the water, they take that glass and they take it for testing. The chutlas, you must remember, the masters in all these type of things here. They invite the Arab leaders and all these type of things sometime. And where the urine go, they'll test that urine also. What sickness or what problem does Mota got and so forth. That's how they operate. You mustn't think they're sleeping. They're wide awake. And they, our people will never think about these type of things here. So, brother, you see that now? So that water, that glass, everything, they can do something and so forth. So Islam says, we don't want no problems and all these type of things. You, now you start comparing that lady with your wife that she drank from there. And you say, but this glass got nice fragrance also. You see, so a lot of things can happen, brother. So therefore, Islam says, just abstain from it.
Somebody says, if her husband passes away and the lady remarries, with who will she be in Jannah? Which husband? If second, then what if she was happier with her first? Ustad?
Remember that the hadith that is sahih and authentic in Tabarani, ma'a akhiri azwajia, she will be with her last husband. So that is, and in Jannah, she won't think of her first husband and all that. Allah Ta'ala will remove all that thoughts from her and so. However, there are some ulama that they say Allah will give her the choice and she can choose whichever husband, because she only have one husband, obviously. So she will choose the husband who she wants to. So you reconcile both. So you must remember that if she's happy with the last one, she will be there. If she was happy with the first one, then she can choose. But the hadith that's authentic says, remember with the last husband.
I see there's a sister who started, Titi Khalida, from Cape Town. She's 64 years old. She wants to get married, asking Mufti Saab if Mufti Saab can get any good partner for her. Titi Khalida, who started from Cape Town.
Oh, Auntie Khalida, now you want to get married when you're 64 years old. What are you going to do, Sister Khalida? You're going to make cook sisters for him and so forth and so on. So we can't get anybody for you because we don't know you. We don't know your family. We don't know anything, you see. So when we have to give some shafa'ah and intercede and so forth, and you know, on somebody's behalf, then at least we must know some history, some geography and so forth. So we say, Auntie Khalida, she's in Cape Town. And then what? Finish, we don't know anything. So my advice to you, you are in Cape Town, my students are there. Ma Dawood Samson is there, remember, in Parkwood. And then there, Qasimul Ulum, Maulana Anwar Peters is there, Maulana Ashraf Lamara is there, Maulana Shaheed Shamsuddin is there, Maulana Abdul Qadir Mari is there. So plenty of them, you speak to them, inshallah, Dan Salhala for Tani Sa'alas Rehmak, inshallah, they will fix everything up for Auntie Khalida. From here, we can't do anything, sister. Remember that. Allah Ta'ala make easy for you. But if you want my honest, you must remember, opinion, leave all this marriage and all that now. Now start preparing for the year after now. Because Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'amaru ummati bayna sittin wa sab'in. The average age of this ummah is between 60 and 70. That's where you are, that's where I am. So remember, wa aqalluhum may yujawizu dhalik. Very few of them go beyond the 70 mark and so forth. It's authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. So rather, Auntie Khalida, they'd leave all the husband and all the story, start preparing for the year after and making preparation for that. Yeah. That will be my advice to you.
I see Titi Khalida says she's prepared to move to Johannesburg. Because Mook van die Kaap will start.
Mook van die Kaap. Okay. So you must remember that. So anyway, you make mashura with them, inshallah.
Somebody says, Ustad, that I have a very rare sickness that spreads to everyone. Should I move out of my house till I recover? That's what my husband says I should do, Ustad.
So remember in Islam, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, we say, La Safara, that in this month of Safar, now today people, this morning also I received a question. They say, Ke akhri budwarno bo musibatai. You know our people, that Indian people, they come from Mirzapur, then they come from Saharanpur, then they come from Lailpur, then they come from Kolvatpur, and then they come from other Palanpur. A lot of poor, they make a lot of puri there, you see. So you must remember all these things. So they bring one kitab from there, one book. It's called Lal Kitab. So you got all these kind of stories. The last Wednesday in Safar, and it is like now it will be the last Wednesday because next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, definitely is Rabiul Awwal once the moon is sighted. So today is the last Wednesday. So there are a lot of calamities and there's no such thing like Islam. In Islam like that, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and his authentic hadith in Bukhari Sharif, La Safara. There is no bad luck, there is no ill omen, bad omen and superstition during this month of Safar, and whether it's last Wednesday or first Wednesday, there's nothing like that. So yes, charity is good, anytime you give out, that's fine, there's no problem with that. Now when you go on with the hadith, then you see La Adwa, there is no contagion in Islam. So you say that this person fell sick, then he made the second person and the second made the third one. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, who made the first one sick? So everybody kept quiet. So that the same Allah who made the first one sick, he made the second one sick. So yes, you can take precaution that is there, but to say now you must move out of the house and that where you going to move to? So remember that, we don't agree with that there. Yes, precaution you take and so forth. So one side Nabi alayhi salam said that. One side a person had leprosy and so forth, and he was coming to take bay'ah, so that to put his hand in the hand of Nabi alayhi salam. So Nabi alayhi salam said that, no, you just stay there, it's fine. I took your bay'ah already. So to show precaution is fine. But we must not believe that this sickness came from one person to second, second to third, third to fourth. No, that we reject and we don't accept that what the doctors or the medical fraternity and them say. So Islam rejects that. All halat, conditions come from Almighty Allah. وَإِذَا مَرِيدُتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I fall sick and ill, then Allah will give shifa. So you, my sister, read Quran Sharif abundantly. Read Surah Fatiha, read Ayatul Kursi, read the four quls, read the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, chapter 21, verse 83. Anni masaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ya Allah, this calamity has struck me, and you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Now you got worry, sorry, anxiety. Read the dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, chapter 21, same surah, in the 17th juz, 17th para, verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. So read that. And read ya salamu abundantly. Give out charity instead of your husband telling you go out. No. Say, I'll give more charity on your behalf, O Popi, O darling, O sweetheart. Da'u mardakum bi sadaqa. Hadith in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. So Islam will not tell you to become negative. Islam will tell you remain more and more positive. That is what Islam will teach you.
I've got a sister, Ustad. She's 24 years of age. And I see she's crying as well. And she says, I just had enough of my mother-in-law, Mufti Saab. Can I send her on a sea cruise far, far away so I can spend at least one day alone with my husband, anonymous Muallima, Ustad?
So I'm asking you, Muallima, you're only 24 years old. So when your husband came and he told you that he's proposing, So obviously his mother was alive that time. We don't know all the circumstances, history, geography. So I am just building up a case. So maybe his father had passed on. So he told you that, okay, Appa Muallima, that when I get married to you, then you will have to live with my mother and you may gee, no problem and so forth, because you didn't know what you are going into. But now you must tell him, your husband. Now your problem is not your mother-in-law. Your problem is your husband. You have to convince him that, see, me, your wife, and your mother living in the same house, sharing the same kitchen, sharing the same bathroom or dust, is a big problem now. So what we need to do is this, that either we move out in the outbuilding and she stays in the main house, or she moves out in the outbuilding and we remain in the house, so she can have a separate kitchen, she can have a separate facilities, bedroom, bathroom, everything. So that will solve the problem 80%, 90%. All sending for a sea cruise and this cruise is not going to help anything. It's not even permissible, first of all. So look for a practical solution. So the practical solution, you have to win the heart and mind of your husband and tell him that now we have to get a house or build something and whatever, simple structure also, so both of you can lead independent lives. So that is where you are. So your husband currently, he is in catch-22 situation. He comes home, you crying. He comes home, mother crying. So where must he look now? And when he asks you the story, you add your masala. And when he speaks to his mother, she adds another spice. So therefore, the only way is to separate the two of you. Last question.
Somebody wants to invite you, start to Durban. They want to book a hall for, if Mutsam can have a class for marriage couples to start.
So I will be there, inshallah, Al-Aziz, in Durban on the 5th. I'm just answering this, then I'm finished. On the 5th of October, so exactly 2 weeks from today. So inshallah, Wednesday night, we'll be in Tongat Masjid, the railway masjid, where Mawpadia is the imam after Isha, the program. And then Thursday night, I will be there, inshallah, in Vellum, where Mawana Abid Khan is. So there I will be there. Friday, Jummah, I will be there, inshallah. That's the 7th, inshallah. And at Avondale, so for the Jummah, where our capital group is. Then on after Asr, I'll be performing the Nikah. Now, what must I say? My grand-nephew. So let's use it like that.
Subhanallah.
So like that, inshallah. So I'll be there, inshallah. So you can come there, brother. You should listen to all the advices and all these kind of things. And that's in Sikau Lake, Masjid al-Taqwa, Asr to Maghrib. And then the same masjid, inshallah, you can take Brother Muhammad Johan. He'll give you all the details. After Isha, inshallah, then will be the talk there at the same masjid. And then Saturday will be in Stenger, the Jami Masjid, inshallah, Al-Aziz. So then you're welcome to come to any of those talks there, my brother. Okay, 12 o'clock news with Brother Suleiman Esop, and thereafter the Battle of Khandak, the Trench by Mawlana Ridwan Qaji. 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 105 to 130, Surah Ma'arij, verses 29 to verse 35. 130 to 2, Surah Ahzab, inshallah. So verses 51 to 53. Then 2 to 3, Current Affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3.30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. And then, so remember that 3 to 3.30 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. And then 3.30 to 4, because we started the series, you must remember, on fiqh, so custody, hadana. Divorce takes place, all that. So where the children will go, so custody. 4 to 5, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri. So Mustafa Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ke lungi mubarak, the lungi, what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear, and the clothing. And then 5 to 7, Mawana Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. And then 7 to 7.30, this today's tafsir, Surah Ma'arij, verses 29 to 35. 7.30 to 8, inshallah, will be Mawana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. Then 8 to 10, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, medical file. 8 to 9, Dr. Abdul Majid Khatmi. 9 to 9.30 will be Sheikh Shuaib Ma'ida, and 9.30 to 10, Mawlana Salim Kareem. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafizahullah. See you guys tomorrow morning, same time, same place on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Sulaiman Esop.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.